Hello, friends. Welcome once again to the Health Ranger Show. I'm your host, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of naturalnews.com. And today I've got a question for you. Is it possible that the drug companies have victimized your children? Is it possible that they invented a disease out of thin air, just came up with a name and started marketing the disease so that they could sell the pharmaceuticals to your children? Well, today we have a guest joining us who says that's exactly what has happened. His name is Dr. Fred Bauman. He's the author of The ADHD Fraud, How Psychiatry Makes Patients of Normal Children. You can find that book on Amazon.com or on his website, www.adhdfraud.org.
Mike, hi. Delighted to be with you again.
Hey, thanks for joining me on the show. May I call you Fred? Is that okay?
You sure may.
All right. Now, just to give our listeners a little background, I want to mention I interviewed you a little over a year ago. We have that interview available online. I'll give out that web address later if people want to read more about you. But could you give folks a little background of all your experience in child neurology and private practice, all of these things, so they know where you're coming from?
Sure. Well, neurologists, the specialty of neurology deals with the physical abnormalities of the brain, that is, real diseases such as multiple sclerosis, strokes, brain tumors, Lou Gehrig's disease, and so on. And in childhood, we encounter children who are damaged in the obstetric process, and their brains can be seen with brain scans to be shrunken or atrophic or to have localized areas of damage, much like a stroke. Psychiatry, on the other hand, is that specialty that deals with emotional and mental behavioral things, not diseases. We all are subject to having emotional ups and downs toward having behaviors that are manifestations of not feeling happy or well or successful.
So as a neurologist, then your position is that there are diseases that are legitimate, that are genuine diseases of the brain or conditions that you can see on an MRI or that you can there's
correct.
Evidence of physically, but psychiatry now is this industry where there are really no physical problems. A lot of this is just opinion of a child maybe diseased according to someone's opinion. Is that correct?
That's it. I mean, actually, in 1948, which was before I entered the medical profession, up to that point, Mike, the physicians that practiced neurology and psychiatry at the same time were called neuropsychiatrists, and they, when they found patients who were upset or depressed or anxious, they would examine those patients. They'd find nothing physically wrong with them, and then would provide counseling or talk therapy or what have you. But on the other hand, when they saw a patient with a stroke, they knew that was an organic disease. But it was in 1948 that the two became formal specialties. And it was understood by both that psychiatrists were not dealing with diseases anymore, but just with emotional and behavioral things. And the neurologists, on the other hand, of which I am one, were those physicians that specialized in physical brain diseases. So that's been the separation since 1948. I might just add here that in the 50s, when I was in medical school, that's when the first psychiatric drugs began to be invented and brought to market. Things like Thorazine for schizophrenia psychosis, Miltown or Equinil, it was called, and Librium, the forerunner of Valium.
In your career, did you realize or decide that ADHD in particular was a fraud? Because that's the name of your book, and the listeners want to know,
yes,
what's your evidence on this? What convinced you that it's a fraud?
Well, I began practice in the 60s. It wasn't until the 70s that I began to see more and more kids referred to me through their schools, through their family physicians, saying that they have so-called hyperactivity or hyperactive child syndrome, and back then it was also called minimal brain dysfunction. And I had a very busy practice in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in my first 11 years, and I didn't see many of those patients. They were probably being diagnosed and prescribed for by pediatricians, for the most part. But through the 80s, after I moved to San Diego, I began to see more and more such kids referred by their schools. I would examine them. I would take careful, thorough histories. I'd find nothing wrong with them. So I would write to the referring physician, referring schools. I said, I can't find anything wrong with these children. They don't have a disease in the first place, meaning that they don't have a legitimate need for any medication. So it was really in the 80s that I became very concerned about the prevalence of this practice. And here I was seeing, I am trained and certified in child neurology, so over the years I was seeing hundreds of children, many with these fanciful, fictitious diagnoses, and it really began to concern me, because these are dangerous, addictive drugs, drugs that sometimes kill kids.
All right, let's talk about the nature of those dangerous, addictive drugs, because these drugs are promoted to parents as being perfectly safe. They say these are approved by the FDA, that they've undergone rigorous scientific testing. They could not possibly harm your children. Doctors are prescribing them almost like candy, it seems. How could it be that these drugs are dangerous?
Ritalin, which is the generic name or chemical name, is methylphenidate. It's very chemically very like amphetamine, and it's categorized. It has always been classified by our Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, as being a Schedule II drug, meaning it is highly addictive. It is in the same category of addiction as cocaine and as the opiates, including Demerol and Dilaudid and things
so
like that.
It's like street drugs. You're saying they're prescribing essentially street drugs to these children, almost.
These are potent. These are street drugs. The same drugs are out there on the street. The other, the number one drug in the ADHD marketplace is Adderall, which is pure amphetamine. And in fact, methamphetamine is available through the physician's desk reference, and it's legal to prescribe Desoxin or Gradumet, which is pure methamphetamine, and organized psychiatry, right along with the FDA, is trying to tell the country that, these are perfectly safe when prescribed by a doctor.
All right.
The same chemical substance given on the street.
We're going to have to take
street
a
drug
quick,
is dangerous.
We're going to take a quick break here, Dr. Bauman. You're listening to the Health Ranger Show and an interview with Dr. Fred Bauman about the ADHD fraud. We'll be right back after this break with more of this interview. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Health Ranger Show. I'm your host, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of naturalnews.com. And with us today is Dr. Fred Bauman, the author of The ADHD Fraud, How Psychiatry Makes Patients of Normal Children. That book is available everywhere that books are sold. You can also find it on his website, www.adhdfraud.org. And by the way, you can also download a full transcript of an interview I did with Dr. Bauman a year ago, which goes into a lot more detail about this topic. That's a free download, no charge or anything like that. No tricks, no gimmicks. Just grab it at naturalnews.com. Click on special reports. You can download that special report and learn how brain disorders lack any objective standard. What group wants 4 out of 10 children to be diagnosed with ADHD? How many psychiatric experts are actually owned by the pharmaceutical industry, and much more. Now, we are joined once again by Dr. Fred Bauman. And Fred, I have one question for you to lead off this segment. In the last segment, you were talking about what these drugs are actually made of, these so-called pharmaceuticals, these medications that our children are being treated with. And you said many of them are similar to amphetamines, or they are chemically identical to amphetamines. Now, why is it that a drug dealer on the street goes to jail when they give a child this drug, but when a doctor prescribes it to a child, or a school counselor, or a teacher says, put that kid on that drug, how come those people don't go to jail?
Well, there is this legal drug cartel constituted, made up of the psychiatric establishment in the U.S. and with the pharmaceutical industry that owns and operates them. Psychiatry long ago sold itself and sold its ethics and its soul to the pharmaceutical industry. So they are in the business of creating new fictional diseases so as to have bigger marketplaces. And ADHD is a case in point. In 1970, there was a congressional hearing at which, for the very first time, hyperactivity was portrayed, was claimed to be an actual disease. The chairman of that congressional hearing, Cornelius Gallagher of New Jersey, took issue with that. He said that he'd been shown no proof that there was anything like a disease, but it was apparent even at that early date, when there were just 200,000 cases in the country, or were said to be, that the government was fully supportive of psychiatry and of the pharmaceutical industry in their efforts now to target normal school children with drugs. The ADHD epidemic grew to 1 million by 1990. By 4 million by 1998, and today it's roughly 6 to 7 million. I often sit here in my study in San Diego, and I try to envision what 5 to 6 million children look like. I think you could fill up five interstate that goes all the way up to Canada, and you wouldn't have room enough for all of those children.
Yeah,
and yet that many.
It's true that the number of children being affected by this is so huge, but it's important that we let people know it's not just that they're being drugged. Children are also being killed, because isn't there a link between these psychotropic drugs and school shootings? I remember reading about the first school shooting that got big headlines in this country, Columbine, and then learning that those shooters were on antidepressant drugs. And every time since then, Fred, that there's been a school shooting, it seems like you learn that they're on antidepressants or psychotic drugs. What's the deal with that, Dr. Bauman?
Well, it looks like the vast majority of school shooters have been on one or several psychiatric drugs. Eric Harris, one of the two Columbine shooters, had been on Luvox, which is a Prozac-like antidepressant, and because of his psychiatric diagnosis and being on a psychiatric drug, he had not been allowed to join the armed forces as he had sought to do, and so that was the connection there. Dylan Klebold, I'm not sure I understand he was on a drug That was kept out of the media for the longest time, but it came out during during trial.
Yeah, that's the one thing that we always see on this is that the mainstream media never really reports that connection. It's always the alternative media or the independent, outspoken truth tellers right. like yourself that end up putting that information out there. You can't trust the mainstream media on this information, folks. In fact, I've got another question for you, Dr. Bauman.
Yes.
With your message, there must be a lot of efforts to silence you, just to censor your information. I imagine you must be attacked by modern psychiatry from time to time. Do you have any stories to share about that?
Well, I think what they do for the most part with their critics is they try not to acknowledge them, or if they do try to berate them, they'll call me. They'll say I'm a member of such and such a church, and so on. And
they'll attack you because you're a member of a church?
Yes, that comes about regularly, and I make clear to them that I, in fact, am not a member of any organized church. But that's something that's their strategy for dealing with people that they haven't bought and that they can't intimidate. And they clearly, it continues to amaze me the extent to which the New York Times has become a purveyor of the fraud of calling psychiatric diagnoses actual brain diseases when none of them are. I can only conclude, I get the New York Times and read it regularly, and I can only conclude that that they are sufficiently bought and paid for or have enough controlling partners on their board that they're not allowed to speak, quote, all the news that's fit to print on the issue of so-called psychiatric diseases and psychiatric treatments.
Well, there's no question that the relationship between the mainstream media and the drug companies is very strong. I mean, look who's paying the salaries of all those editors and journalists who are writing those stories or deciding what stories we should not see that day.
Yes.
Think about that, folks. It's the news that you're not supposed to see.
You know, I should think... In 1998, there was a so-called ADHD consensus conference held at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. And at that conference, amazingly, Mike, there were two researchers, James Swanson and Xavier Castellanos, and they reviewed all of the literature that dealt with doing MRI brain scans on children with ADHD. And they...
All right, Dr. Bauman, sorry to interrupt you. Yes. We've got to take another break. Stay with us for one more segment when we come back. You're listening to The Health Ranger Show. We'll be right back after this break with more with Dr. Fred Bauman. Hi there, friends. Thanks for listening. You are listening to The Health Ranger Show. I'm your host, Mike Adams, The Health Ranger, better known as editor of naturalnews.com, one of the most popular natural health news websites on the internet. Dr. Bauman, I've got a question for you. How much money are these drug companies making off of these pharmaceuticals that they call medicines to treat the diseases that they've actually sponsored and invented? How much money is at stake here?
Methylphenidate or Ritalin income in a year is along about $3 billion. I don't recall whether that's Ritalin alone or all of the ADHD drugs, but that's just the drugs. The think of the overall health care needs that are engendered. Think of all of the family physicians and pediatricians and neurologists, psychiatrists that are making those diagnoses and that are having those patients back for follow-up examinations and medication reviews. So they've created, ADHD has become the most common pediatric diagnosis, and it's not even a real disease. So if people are wondering why here in the U.S. We spend $7,000 per person per year whereas in most of the rest of the world, it's about half that, about $3,000 to $3,500 a year. It's because of all of this inflated need that is created fictitiously, mainly in the name of psychiatric care.
Okay, so without a doubt, there are billions of dollars at stake. It's absolutely true that when people like you and I help teach parents how to prevent their kids from being diagnosed with these conditions, we, in essence, indirectly deny the drug companies these revenues. So let's do some of that. Can you share some advice with parents of how they can keep kids off of these drugs safely?
Well, most of the pushing of these diagnostic labels begins in the schools. Psychiatry, CHAD, children and adults with attention deficit disorders, and the NIMH are regularly found in-house at the U.S. Department of Education. They have a common script and a common strategy for getting teachers to push these diagnoses and thereby to be drug pushers. What parents have to realize is that you, the parent, mother, father, you are the shepherds of your child's emotional life. No one else is more of an expert at what's bothering your child or not bothering your child from one day to the next.
Well, what should a parent do if a teacher says your child needs to be put on this medication? What action steps should they take?
I think that you've got to have confidence in yourself as a parent and as the person in charge of your child's emotional life, and you've got to let them know in no uncertain terms that you will handle issues in that area. If it's something about his school behavior, you tell him it's a behavior, and you and the teacher will deal with that as a behavior, but don't accept that it's a medical problem needing a drug. Many schools not only are members of the deception, the lie that ADHD behaviors are a disease, but they become frankly coercive. They'll say, well, we can't teach your child unless he or she is properly medicated, and the next thing you know, they'll be scheduling a conference with the entire diagnostic team.
Yeah, but isn't it true that a lot of these schools are also given extra money for every child that they get diagnosed?
Yes, they do get considerably more money for every diagnosed child. Every diagnosed child is considered a special needs child, a medical case, as it were. And so, yes, there is a financial incentive for school districts to be making these diagnoses. When the coercion becomes too much, I tell people, I say, you can't stay and fight them. You'll end up being labeled a medically negligent parent, and you may have Child Protective Services at your door threatening to take you to juvenile court as a negligent parent, threatening to take custody of your very own child.
Yeah, for not giving your child speed, essentially. You could be considered
speed, and it's not just about speed anymore. It's about any and all psychiatric drugs.
This is just insane, Dr. Bauman. I want to give people your book and your website again one more time, because if they want to learn more.
I'd like to urge people to, this is a self-published book, and it's at www.trafford.com.
All right, trafford.com is where they can buy your book, and it's titled The ADHD Fraud, How Psychiatry Makes Patients of Normal Children. And by the way, we have a couple more minutes left, but I want to give you a teaser. After the next break, when we come back, we are going to be doing some solution-oriented exploration of this issue. I'm going to give you some nutritional tips on how you can get your child out of these diagnoses, off of these drugs, safely and with the help of a qualified naturopathic physician if necessary. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We're going to do some more of that. But I've got one more question for you, Dr. Bauman. We have about 2 minutes. 2 minutes left in this segment. Can you talk about the other side effects of these drugs? What are these drugs doing to these kids after 10 weeks or 10 months on these pharmaceuticals?
Well, kids develop tics or twitches, and the psychiatrist will tell you that that's Tourette's syndrome. Well, Tourette's syndrome occurs with no disease or no drug in the picture. The amphetamines, including Ritalin, can cause a picture of what looks exactly like Tourette's syndrome. People can become psychotic, can become self and other destructive. The frequency of sudden cardiac deaths and strokes is very much increased in kids on ADHD drugs. In 2005, Health Canada, for a short time, took Adderall off the market because of strokes and heart attacks in small children. They succumbed to pressure from our FDA, trying to portray Adderall as safe and effective, and as necessary for the treatment of the fictitious disease, ADHD.
All right, folks.
One other thing
Sorry, Dr. Bauman, I got to interrupt one more time. We're going to be taking a break here shortly, but I want to make sure that people can get your free report. That's on naturalnews.com. Click on special reports. They can download a full interview with you and get a lot more details. And I also wanted to thank you for coming on this show. This is our last segment together, but I will be back after this break with more nutritional information. You've been listening to an interview with Dr. Fred Bauman, author of The ADHD Fraud. His website is ADHDfraud.org. Thanks for joining us, Fred. Hope to interview you again soon. Hi there, friends, and welcome back to the Health Ranger Show. I'm your host, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of naturalnews.com. And in the last segment, we were talking with Dr. Fred Bauman. He's the author of The ADHD Fraud. It's a great book. Check it out. The website you can buy that at is trafford.com, T-R-A-F-F-O-R-D.com. And in this segment, I'm going to be giving you some nutritionally oriented solutions to help your kids get away from these crazy diagnoses. Did you know that 80% of children who have been diagnosed with ADHD can actually be symptom-free in less than 2 weeks by simply changing their diet? Yeah, it's true. This is supported by research. I've written about that on the website quite a bit. It's really not that difficult. You've just got to do two things. And if you're a parent, listen up. You've got to do, first, take the poisons out of your child's diet. And we'll talk about those poisons here in the next few minutes. You've also got to put the good stuff into your child's diet. In other words, boost their nutrition so they get what they need for their brains to function correctly. And we're going to talk about both of those things here in this segment. But first, I've got to tell you about some research. There's a lot of research fraud that takes place in this industry. This one study in particular, listen to this. This will blow your mind. Researchers were trying to prove that ADHD is a real disease that causes shrinkage of the brain. So they took a bunch of kids who were diagnosed with ADHD, and they put them under an MRI, and they took images of their brains, and they found out, gee, sure enough, their brains are smaller. But you know what they forgot to mention in the mainstream media? You know what fact they conveniently left out of the headlines? These kids were also being drugged with the ADHD medications. And it was, in fact, the medications that were stunting the growth of these children, shrinking their brains, causing them to be shorter than their classmates of the same age. These medications, as Dr. Bauman mentioned in the earlier segments, are a lot like street drugs. I mean, many of them used to be called speed when they were sold on the street. Many of them are chemically identical or very similar to amphetamines, even similar to methamphetamines, you know, meth, ice, the illegal drug that's now ravaging our society. These are identical in many ways to the same drugs now being given to our children as so-called treatment or medicine for this disease that was invented by, essentially, the drug companies. This disease, ADHD, that psychiatry is now diagnosing children with all across the country. And it's all, in my opinion, it's all based on fraud. Now let's get to the solutions. First, what do you take out of your child's diet if you don't want them to exhibit these behaviors? Let's say they are hyperactive, or a school teacher came to you and says, your child is interrupting people in class. Therefore they have attention deficit disorder. Well, first of all, you gotta get the poisons out of their diet. What are those artificial colors? If they're drinking those sports drinks that are made with neon colors, those are artificial colors, folks. Or candies or children's food is made with the craziest ingredients. Wait till you hear some of these. I found a frozen food for children in a local grocery store that actually contained carnauba wax, the same wax that you wax your car with. They were waxing the fruits with carnauba wax and putting that into the frozen children's dinners. And then they had all kinds of other ingredients, the artificial colors, the hydrogenated oils, the sodium nitrite, all of these dangerous ingredients, and the refined sugars too, and the refined grains. And they would put all of this together with a fancy package and say, you know, children's meals or great food for kids. They would even put little cartoon figures on the front. And they have symbols that make it appear like it's approved by certain agencies. And all it is, in my opinion, is poison with a few calories. You've got to get that out of your kid's diet. Because you can't poison your child and expect him to have normal brain function. And many of these foods that are being marketed to children today really are poisons. You find this in drinks as well. Let's talk about soft drinks. In the non-diet soft drinks, not only do you have the sugars, which of course drive kids absolutely crazy, make them bounce off the walls and get them diagnosed with ADHD, but you also have the phosphoric acid. That acid eats away bone mineral density in the bodies of those children, leaving them with osteoporosis, leaving them with reduced jaw lines, leaving them with dental cavities, literally destroying their bodies from the inside out. The phosphoric acid does that. They use it in soft drinks. You know where else they use it, folks? They use it to scrub the rust off of battleships. The U.S. military uses this acid. Yeah, it's the exact same acid. I'm not making this up. They use it to clean battleships. Stonemasons also use the same acid to etch patterns into stone. And your kids are drinking this stuff? No, you might think, all right, at least we'll avoid the sugars and we'll get our kids some diet soda. But then what do you have? You have aspartame. Aspartame is classified as an excitotoxin, which means, according to some doctors, it is toxic to the nervous system. I mean, people suffer blindness sometimes. They suffer fuzzy vision sometimes. People suffer from headaches, extreme migraine headaches. What do you think these chemicals are doing to your child's brain? So if your child is having trouble concentrating in school or is having some kind of behavioral disorders, you should not leap to the conclusion that they have a physical disease and they need medication. The first thing you should do is ask yourself, is the food that I'm buying for my child poisoned? Is it poisoned with chemical additives and artificial ingredients and synthetic petrochemical derivatives? Because artificial food colors, folks, are derived from petrochemicals. It's true. Yeah, it's made from the same stuff that runs your car. Just goes through a different chemical process to make those artificial colors. So you've got to get all of those things out of your child's diet. So if you're following along and you're making a list, it is artificial colors, refined sugars, including high fructose corn syrup, and aspartame. You also want to get MSG out of your child's diet, which means you've got to watch for MSG, monosodium glutamate, in bacon and sausage and beef jerky and any of those seasoned meats. They use a lot of MSG in those foods, typically. Processed meats have it. You've also got to watch out for another ingredient called yeast extract, because it is a hidden form of MSG. It actually contains up to 14% MSG, and yet it sounds innocent, doesn't it? Yeast extract doesn't sound like a chemical. It sounds like yeast. Sounds like something you use to make bread. But in fact, it is a hidden form of MSG, and the food companies use that to put MSG into their foods without having to admit it on the labels. So if you're a parent, watch carefully for that. All right, now what can you do to put good things into your child's diet? This is where you've got to start educating yourself, if you haven't already, and learn about the nutrition that can positively impact your child's mental health, emotional health, and physical health. Because if you get the right nutrition into your child's diet through various superfoods, for example, or even just shifting to fresh produce instead of processed foods, then your child will not only have a brain that works better, he or she will have an immune system that works better at the same time. Everything in that child's body will work better. Their heart, their liver, their lungs, their kidneys, their athletic performance, the ability of their blood to carry oxygen and give them stamina and endurance, their ability to heal more quickly from injury. All of these things go up when you give them proper nutrition. Now, how hard is it to give them proper nutrition? It's not that difficult. There are some excellent superfoods on the market that I've reviewed in the past, and I've recommended, and I'll recommend to you again right here. There's one called X-Balance, and that website, I think it's just xbalance.com. It's made by a company called SGN Nutrition. They make also another one called Emerald Balance, but the X-Balance chocolate is actually made for kids, and it tastes really, really good. It's absolutely delicious. Kids love to drink it, even though it's a superfood. Another product that's out there on the market is called Amazing Grass. Yeah, Amazing Grass. Not Amazing Grace, but Amazing Grass. It's a barley grass-oriented superfood chocolate powder that children think is just chocolate milk. You can find that at AmazingGrass.com. There's also a company out there called the Organic Food Bar Company, and they have bars for children. Many different flavors for children. They have cherries, they have apples. They're all made with wholesome ingredients. They even include omega-3s. And I'll talk about omega-3s here in a minute. But if you can get these kinds of foods into your child's body, it's going to counteract any of those poisons. And if you get the poisons out and you put the nutrition in, then you've got the best combination in the world. And believe me, your child is not going to be diagnosed with ADHD or other fictitious psychiatric disorders if you're giving them the right nutrition. It's also helpful to make sure they get exercise and sunlight, clean air, you know, fresh water, all of that at the same time. Now, what else can you do for them? Get them omega-3s. Give them fish oil supplements if they'll take them. If not, find ways to get some flax seeds or chia seeds into their diets. That will boost their omega-3 concentration and keep them healthy. I hope this has been useful information for you. I've enjoyed sharing it with you. Please educate yourself, empower yourself with this information. Don't be victimized by Big Pharma and modern psychiatry. This has been Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, from naturalnews.com. Thanks for joining me. Talk to you again soon.